49-46, a three-point ball game. And the Yale team looking for a timeout. And they do get one. They call timeout. So, this timeout, 5 minutes and 12 seconds remaining to play. The Quakers still lead by only three, 49-46. We'll be back in a moment.
1-1-8.
We are back at the Payne Whitney Gym. The Quakers looking at a lead diminished since halftime. It is a three-point edge they have right now with 5 minutes and 12 seconds remaining in this ballgame. Yale with the inbound. Andy Carrison looking to inbound and get the remaining 5 minutes and 12 seconds underway.
Bielski with 10 points there in the second half has really keyed Yale's comeback. Time's going to really have to start working a little harder and make him work to get the ball down there on the block, try and get around on him a little bit.
They blocked him out in the first half. He had only 2 points, but he got 10 here in the second half for 12 in the ball game. He averages five. Gives you an idea of what he's been doing for Yale. All right, as we go down court, Andy Carrison rolls it out to Josh Jennings. Josh out to Brown. Dave Brown gives to Josh again. Josh in the right corner with Matt Maloney right on top of him, forces him to lose possession of the ball, but Matt tips it at the last second. It still will be Yale ball.
Great ball pressure by Penn. There's now 12 seconds on the shot clock. You don't want Yale to get anything going at the basket.
Andy into Brown in the right corner. Jerome on him. Going into the paper on the left, right side. Gives to Dave on the right block. He goes walks all the way. Mike, they finally called it. Come on. I thought they were going to let him go again.
That was probably the least amount of walking he's done yet, though. It's unbelievable.
He was walking the dog with two dogs most of the time tonight. They didn't call it. That time he took just a little stutter step into the paint. They did call it. Fortunately for the Quakers, he doesn't get two. 49-46. Eric Moore, top of the key to Barry Pierce on the left wing. He gives it to Sean Price. Nice move to the basket by Sean. It does not fall. He is not fouled, and Dave Bielski comes down with a rebound.
Bielski's tough. He's really doing a nice job. He boxed Eric Moore out, Penn's best rebounder, and came down with a strong defensive rebound.
Yeah, Sean had a nice move to the bucket. It just would not fall as he moved in from the left side of the paint, low on the baseline. Down at the other end, Andy Carrison goes to Dave Bielski again on the right block. He takes it outside to Brown. Brown thinks of the three, can take it. Josh Jennings goes for the free. It is no good. Jerome Allen with a rebound, trapped on the baseline, and he is fouled. What a break for the Quakers.
Yeah,
a possibility of losing the ball out of bounds, down low on the baseline after the rebound. He winds up being fouled. It'll still be Quaker ball.
And he got caught in a bad position there by the way he got that rebound. Yale trapped him right away. Penn was fortunate to get a foul call there.
And they did. David Brown picks up the personal, his third one of the ball game. 49-46. It's the fourth team foul for Yale, so they're not in any position to give away the one and ones yet. All right, Barry Pierce into the paint from the right side. He passes off to Sean Price, and we have a foul. Nice move by Barry. Went into the paint that time. Brown people him, and he quite quickly passed it off to Sean Price, who was on the left block, and the foul committed by Josh Jennings. So it'll be an inbound play still. They've got now five team fouls. Inbound to Barry Pierce. Barry looking for Eric. Eric on the left block. Spins into the paint. Kicks it outside to Matt. Matt Rainbow. No good. Going for the rebound is Sean Tyson. He gets it at the foul line with two men on him. And he gives to Jerome Allen. Jerome Allen on the right side. Goes into the left elbow. Stops. Elevates. Goes for the shot. It is slightly off to the right. Barry Pierce with the rebound. But loses the ball as he and Eric Moore were battling for the ball. Low on the baseline on the right side. And it went out of bounds.
Jerome's a little off balance when he took that shot. Made a nice strong move going across the lane. Penn's going to have to D Yale up now. 3 minutes to go. Up by three. This is what good teams are made of.
49-46. The Quakers having had the lead since the early 2 seconds of the ball game. When Yale scored the first 2 points, they didn't have the lead ever since. A timeout is called by Yale with 3:04 on the clock. And the Quakers leading 49-46. We'll be back in just a moment.
In a world filled with imitation mayonnaise, artificial Christmas trees, and more than a few Elvis impersonators, Swanson Great Starts still makes breakfasts that are decidedly real. Like our scrambled eggs, bacon, and home fries breakfast. Made always with real fresh eggs. Three strips of real cured bacon and real home fried potatoes. Everything about this Great Starts breakfast is real, especially how it tastes. Real good. Scrambled eggs, bacon, and home fries from Swanson Great Starts. Great stuff.
This is Dan Baker, speaking for my good friends at Valley & Bow Cadillac and Oldsmobile in Woodbury, New Jersey. If you're looking for a new or used car, I highly recommend these nice people. I've purchased a new car from them and leased several others over the last 4 years and couldn't be more pleased. Before you purchase or lease your next car, please give my friends a call at Valley & Bow Cadillac, 609-845-2500. They're located just 20 minutes from either the Ben Franklin or Walt Whitman Bridges in Woodbury, New Jersey.
We are back at Haynes Whitney Gym, where this ball game has come down to be a riot kind of a game. A game that will go down to the wire. You feel it in your bones right now, Ben, that this game is not going to be decided properly until the last 2 seconds of play.
That's for sure. Ben has really not run good offense in the second half. They forced a lot of shots, and they've been floating. They haven't been working, making Yale work on defense. And they're really going to have to work to get out of here with a win.
Yale with the ball. They inbound to Joe Melman. Melman gives to Josh Jennings. A rainbow by Jennings is way short, but he's fouled at the top of the key by Matt Maloney, they say, and he will have three attempts at the foul line to get those 3 points that he missed from the top of the key. He had a screen, let it go. It was way, way short, but Matt was running him, trying to go for the block, and winds up picking up some skin, according to the officials, and Josh Jennings will be at the line. He's a 67% shooter at the foul line, a 5'11 junior from Chestnut Hill Academy in Philadelphia, and he makes. Wouldn't it be ironic for a 5'11 little guard to give Penn a headache at the end of this evening? Jennings' second shot is good. From Chestnut Hill Academy, Josh Jennings is going for his third. He made two, he goes for the three, and makes the third, so that's as good as a rainbow.
Matt just got caught there and got mugged on the screen, and the referee seems to think that Matt got him on the shot. I didn't see it.
All right, 12 points for Josh Jennings. He's the fellow that took the rainbow at the buzzer yesterday, last evening, and almost tied the Princeton game, but it missed. It went in as deep as it could go and then spun itself out. In the meantime, we are all tied here at 49-49. Sean Price at the right elbow, outside to Eric Moore. Eric hesitating for a minute, gives to Barry Pierce on the left block. He spins, shoots. No good. Eric Moore gets the rebound, goes for the putback. He's marked, but no whistle. And the ball goes out of bounds. They're going to say off of Sean Price. And the crowd is getting into the ball game, and the officials are getting into the ball game, sometimes because of a whistle and sometimes because of a lack of a whistle.
Barry had Jennings on him down there on the block, and he's got a definite advantage. What happened was the outfit came and helped him out, and Barry wasn't able to find anybody and unfortunately couldn't get a good shot at the basket.
David Brown comes to the top of the circle, 2:05 on the clock, all tied at 49. Josh Jennings, right wing, picks up his dribble down low to Bielski. Bielski on the right block. Backs it outside again to Fairfield. They go to Brown on the left side. Here's Jennings with a rainbow. No good. Battling for the rebound. Bielski brings it down. He and Moore were battling. David wins the battle. And they get another 45-second clock as Josh Jennings is at the mid-court circle.
Eric had good position there. It's got a 3-point shot. When the ball kicks out long like that, sometimes you do everything right and just still don't get the rebound.
That's right, Eric Moore. He battled hard that time for the rebound, but Bielski won the battle, as we said. We're down to 1:28 on the clock. Jennings deep in the left corner, outside to David Bielski, who comes out to help. He gives to Dave Brown on the right wing. Back to Jennings. At the midcourt circle, Josh Jennings calls for a timeout. So with a timeout, and the score all knotted up, all tied up at 49 with 1:18 remaining to play. We'll pause for this message. in the pain with me, Jim, that has seen this Yale team score 35 points here in the second half while holding the Quakers to just 15 in the entire second half to now. We have 1:18 on the clock. 49-49 is the score. A brand new ball game as Yale is inbounding into Karazim. Karazim gives to Rob Connolly on the right wing with Jerome fronting him. He tries to break down. Jerome goes down to the baseline, can't shoot, gives out to Josh. Josh shoots. A rainbow. No good. David Bielski comes up with the rebound and is fouled. David Bielski in the middle of the paint goes up with the rebound. The big fella brings it down. The 6'10 junior controls the ball and draws the foul.
If you look at the play that Yale ran out of bounds, doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense. You have Rob Connolly trying to break down Jerome Allen one-on-one, Penn's best defender. And what happens is Matt Maloney loses his man. He gets an open three, and then Bielski once again just made a great rebound and is looking to stick it back in there. And hopefully he's going to miss these free throws.
And he puts a second personal foul on Eric Moore and getting the rebound and drawing the foul. Bielski makes. He gets the lift. He hits the front of the rim. It bounces up, hits the glass, and then drops in.
The home team roll right there.
They must have done something to the rim. All right, he breaks the tie at 50-49, looking for an addition. And he goes up. No good. Short. Way short. Barry Pierce with a rebound. So 50-49, they take the lead for the first time since the first bucket of the ball game when it was 2-0. Yale in the edge. Matt Maloney to Barry Pierce on the right wing. Josh Jennings fronting him to Eric Moore at the top of the key. Eric Moore looking for somebody to come out and help. Jerome does. Into Barry Pierce on the right side of the right block. He goes towards the paint. Spins. Goes for the shot. They're going to say a whistle prior to the shot probably, or maybe they're going to give him the continuation. We'll have to wait and see.
Barry forced it to get to the foul line right there. Yale triple teamed him, and he had Eric Moore wide open underneath for a layup, but with three guys on, it's sometimes tough to find that open man.
Well, David Brown was one of the three, and he picked up his fourth personal foul. They will give him the active shooting foul. I thought it might have been prior to. However, Barry will have a chance to tie this ball game and get the lead back as he has two shots at the line. Yale leading 50-49. 44.5 seconds remaining to play. First shot is up and good.
Yale's going to get the last shot of this game, though, if they play their cards right. So they're looking to either go home with a win on the last shot or get it into overtime if Barry misses this next free throw.
Barry's second shot is good. So Barry gives the Quakers once again a one-point lead. Hey, hold on to your Quaker brim, gang. You better hold on to that hat. We're going to need all of the effort you can squeeze in rooting back home. And we have a big rooting section right behind us here. A lot of Penn alums who have come to watch a most exciting ball game. We're down to the last 44.5 seconds. 44 and a half seconds remaining to play. Quakers leading by one, 51-50.
Clutch free throw shooting there by Barry Pierce. That's the difference right now. He makes his two, and Bielski doesn't make one of his. A lot of iron on all three of those fouls, all four of the last foul shots, but unfortunately for Penn, Barry made his two, and Bielski missed one.
All right, you're listening to Pennsylvania Basketball on WSSJ on the Play-by-Play Sports Radio Network on call. All right, well, it's a Willie Nelson non-call there. Down low to Craig Fairfield. Then back outside to get to Damon. Damon goes into the right elbow, kicks it outside again. And we have Rob Connolly on the right wing. Down low deep. He goes to Josh. Josh almost loses the ball at the top of the key. Gives it back to Rob. 51-50. They're going to work down 9 seconds, 8 seconds, 7 seconds. A Rob Connolly shot. No good. The ball is loose. Barry Pierce has it, and he's fouled. With 3 seconds, Barry Pierce brings the rebound down, and he is fouled.
Huge rebound by Barry Pierce.
Oh, my goodness. What a strong set of circumstances for the Quakers. They kept on denying opportunities, kept on denying any chances for a good shot. Yale kept on trying to find a good shot. They couldn't find one. When they did, they missed. And coming down with a very strong rebound was Barry Pierce. Barry Pierce brings it down, holds on to it, is fouled, and he will have a chance to maybe edge up the score. But more important at this point, they've got the ball, they've got the control of the ball game. If he makes at the foul line, there still will be 3.1 seconds. So if he makes both, then at worst it could be a tie if they go down for a quick rainbow. Does not make, and timeout is called. He misses on the front end of a 1-1. And time is called by Yale. They came down with a rebound. Everybody was down the other end, thinking that Barry would take the first, maybe get the second. But not to happen.
2.5 seconds to go now. And Yale's got the ball. He got a chance to win this game. Penn's really going to have to beat them up real tough. I'm sure Coach Duncan's going to put Timmy Krug in the ball game to pressure the ball out of bounds. Tim's big, lanky kid, jump up and down, just try and go crazy. You can look for Yale maybe to run a screen on the baseline to open up the man inbounding the ball. Actually, take that back. He can't move because he was on a rebound.
Right.
So the man has to be stationary. Look for Timmy Krug to just get up in the guy's face and try and get a piece of the ball as it comes in.
Well, Yale having a difficult time of it last night, coming down to the wire last night against Princeton. They're down to the wire again tonight, this time against the Quakers. And with a one-point lead, 2.6 seconds remaining to play. That rebound cost just about a matter of a portion of a second. So with 2.6, they definitely have time to get it down. And a deuce will win the ballgame for Yale. They've got to prevent any kind of a reasonable shot if they can, and maybe prevent the inbound. That would be the ideal.
Any kind of score, and Yale's going home a winner. Penn's already in the bonus situation, so they don't have a foul to take right now. It's just going to be Timmy Krug on the man out of bounds with the ball. He's going to have to jump up and harass him as much as possible.
He's on Andy Karasim, who's trying to get the ball to go inbound. He gets the ball from the official, looking down court for a football toss.
He's got a lot of time. He almost hears it all. There's a long pass down court. He's going to go out of bounds. It'll be 10 balls and maybe a victory. And actually, they'll get it way down at this end because he just tossed it way out of bounds. Nobody touched it. So the Breakers have the ball in their end of the court with 1.2 seconds remaining to play. They just got to get it in.
Clock should not have started. There should be 2.5 seconds left. And that's what Dick Coots is screaming about right now.
Okay, well, Dick is going to get his wish. We're going to put the time back on the clock. So we have time still coming for the Penn Quakers to take an inbound and hold it. Got the ball game out.
Yes, Will obviously is going to foul him right away. Penn's got to step up, make at least one free throw, and we should be going home with a win.
Oh, it's going to be a nice bus ride. Boy, it's always tough riding the bus at night or the plane at night when there is a loss. But this one, hopefully, well, let's not say anything. It ain't over till it's over. Jerome Allen to inbound with 2.6 on the clock, and there is a whistle. Andy Carrison just too close that time.
Real beneficial for Yale, that call. I'm not really sure if it was a foul or not, but they fouled him before the clock started.
Well, that might have been a coaching decision to do that because you still have 2.6 left on the clock. If they inbounded and fouled, at least a percentage of a second would have gone down. So they caused the foul before the inbound. Matt Maloney's at the line. It is up and no good. The rebound by Yale. Rob Connolly going down for it. Throws it out. No good. The Quakers win. The Quakers win. The Quakers win because Yale cannot get a buzzer shot together. They get a shot up, way off to the left by Rob Connolly, and the Pennsylvania Quakers deny and hold on to a 51-50 lead and victory. We will be back with a recap and a post-game test after we pause for these messages. We are back at the Payne Whitney Gymnasium where Yale went down to the wire again. Two nights in a row, that's got to drain them. They've had a tough time of it this season and an even tougher time this weekend as they hosted Princeton last night and hosted the Quakers tonight. And they were very genial hosts then because they gave both teams the opportunity to go home with a W.
And very fortunate to get out of here with a win. On that last shot, Conway got the rebound and he took about 5 or 6 dribbles with a step over half court. Got a real good look at it, and they came close to making it. And Penn very fortunate to get out of here with a win.
Yeah, it has been quite a ball game, a W for the Quakers tonight. And of course, they just wound up being a circumstantial situation. They were down by 20, Yale, at halftime, went into the locker room 34-14, and then came out with a phenomenal second half to cut it down to a tie. They took the lead. The Quakers got the lead back and held by one. They missed a couple free throws that would have given them a little bit of an edge, but it just was one of those things where they were not falling towards the tail of the night.
Penn has had a tough time at the free throw line for the last couple of weeks. Now, I'm sure it's driving Coach Will crazy right now, but very lucky that we could get out of here with a win. Yale, no quitting them. They really kept coming after it, and they're like a rat had been backed into a corner, and they came out going for the jugular. You know, they were fighting and clawing just to get themselves back in the game. Got a little run early in the second half, and then all of a sudden, you look up, and it's a five-point game, and that 20-point lead in the first half terrific play by Penn is history, and Yale really had a chance to take this one and snatch victory out of the jaws of defeat.
They sure did, because Josh Jennings came in, hit a couple of rainbows. He's a little fellow from Philadelphia. You had Bernie Colson coming in and giving a bit of hand. Damon Franklin, of course, playing as usual, good ball game outside. They were using the perimeter rather well to find those entry passes to Bielski. And in the first half, they couldn't get it into him. And a few times they did in the first half, he would almost fumble his way into the paint and not be able to take a good shot, partly because of the denials by Eric Moore and the rest of the gang in the middle of the paint. But for the most part, he just wasn't moving smoothly. Comes out in the second half, he's a bear. He's moving a lot smoother, going to the bucket a lot stronger, and they're getting the entry passes to him to make those moves. So it was quite an entry back into the ballgame that Yale did.
I really think Bielski was the key to their comeback. Once they started getting the ball inside to him, and he was effectively doing some things with it, Penn had to collapse their defense, and they couldn't push out. So even if Bielski didn't get an inside bucket, the guys on the outside were wide open, and they were knocking them out in the second half.
And looking at that second half, Matt Maloney, who had four rainbows in the first half and a two-point bucket, could not find the range too much in the second half. He hit an early three in the opening part of the second half, so he wound up with 17 points in the ballgame, but again had a difficult second half, as did Jerome Allen. Jerome Allen didn't find the range till the beginning of the second half with that three-point shot, and literally that was the only shot he was able to make. But his contribution came in other ways, however, on the offense as well as on the defense. The rest of the scoring, we had Barry Pierce, who had a phenomenal night all through. He had 9 points in the first half and came back to get a few more in the second half to have a total of 14 points in the ballgame, and he made major contributions. And of course, probably the best contribution was getting that rebound at the last second of the ballgame.
Huge rebound by Barry down there, because it looked like Bielski had a chance to tip it back in, and he got one, knocked it up there, and knocked it around, and Barry came down with it. Would have been a lot easier on Coach Dumpy there if Barry knocked out a few free throws there, but fortunately, I'm sure Coach is happy to get out of here with a win.
Yeah, Tim Krug, of course, had a couple of good blocks. He wound up with 6 points, four in the first half and a bucket in the second half for a total of six. And then Eric Moore had 4 points. He had a bucket in the first and one in the second half, a total of four. 5 points for Sean Price, three, as we mentioned, for Jerome Allen. And Andy Barada had a bucket in the first half of the ball game to get their one-point margin victory. For Yale right now, we had the lead scorer being Dave Bielski. As we mentioned, he had only two in the first half and came back with big 11 points in the second half for a total of 13. 12 points for Josh Jennings, the little fellow from Philadelphia, basically got nine of his 12 points in that second half, a couple of rainbows and a few other buckets that kept them in the ball game and actually gave them the lead at 1 point. Rest of the scoring, we had Craig Fairfield with nine, a quiet nine. We had Joe Melman with two. We had David Brown with three. Andy Charism with one. And Bernie Colson with two to round out the scoring. Damon Franklin, by the way, also had 2 points. We will be back with some post-time activity after we pause for this message.
This is Dan Baker again for the good folks at Ballymbo Cadillac and Oldsmobile in Woodbury, New Jersey. You know, it's important to me to have my cars in good running condition. I don't want my wife and children breaking down somewhere and getting stuck. Well, Ballymbo's excellent service department will keep your car running like new. So if you're looking for dependability, don't look any farther than Ballymbo Cadillac and Oldsmobile, just 20 minutes from either the Ben Franklin or Walt Whitman Bridges in Woodbury, New Jersey. Give them a call at 609-845-2500.
Quality, value, and taste are important. Try Cento Fine Italian Foods. With Cento wine vinegar, olive oil, and roasted red peppers, you can spice up any salad. And taste what happens to pasta when your sauce starts with Cento tomatoes. Discover Cento tonight. You'll love it.
We are back at Payne Whitney Gym. I'm Pat Delphi with Vince Curran at the conclusion of a phenomenal ball game, a wire job. And we said, I guess with about 8-9 minutes to play, that you began to get the feeling, even though it was a game that was a runaway in the first half, a 20-point lead in the first half, you got the feeling.